scripture reading this morning is not what's on the board. It's not 1 Kings. It's going to be Psalm 49. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor. Together, my mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in the times of trouble? When the iniquity of those who cheat me surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling place to all generations. Though they call lands by their own name, men in his pomp will not remain. He is like the grass that perished. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall consume in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. But when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down with him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. And though yet Yet though you get praise when you do well for yourself, my soul will be to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Man in his pompous, yet without understanding, is like the beast that perishes. The sermon I'm about to read was prepared by Reverend D. DeBoer of Abbotsford. He has chosen his text this morning, Luke 12, not 22, verse 34, but 13 through 21. Let's read them. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge and arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there will I store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So in the one who has laid up treasures for himself is not rich towards God." The theme for this sermon is, what if God calls you? What if God comes for you tonight? Lord Jesus, as is well known, often presented truths in the wrapping of parables. Parables are vivid and effective ways of teaching, and also symbolically conveys the discrimination of Jesus' teaching. He discriminates against the unbelieving by disguising the truth, while he favors the believing by giving them the truth. The text in front of us this morning is another of Jesus' parables. One of the features of this parable is that Jesus told his hearers the meaning of the parable ahead of the time. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. After he said this, Jesus told the parable to illustrate the point. For we who live in a very materialistic and rich society, the point is well taken. There is danger in having too much. As Jesus would say on another occasion, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The parable that Jesus told to show the danger of greed for material possessions is about a rich man who makes plans to build bigger barns to hold more of his stuff. The emptiness and futility of his plans are exposed when God ends his life, suddenly, unexpectedly. Now what? Material possessions convey no advantage when being judged by God, or can we say a single item into the next life. We leave it all behind. The parable is meant to make us think, of course. The obvious question in front of us is the one we have in our theme. What if the Lord comes for you tonight? Perhaps you are 90 years old and think to yourself, I wish the Lord would come for me tonight. In that case, you might be asking, if the Lord doesn't come for me tonight, what is the work? That is a worthy question. That deserves a sermon on its own. Then we could look at Pope Paul's words in Philippians 1, when he says that to die is gain. But if it is the Lord's will, he will accept to stay this life a little longer. But that is not the question of this text. The question is not, what if the Lord does come tonight for me? The question is, what if the Lord does come for me tonight? Am I ready? Are you ready? What does ready look like? Have I put my trust in the abundance of my possessions, or is my trust in the Lord Jesus? This is the question that has certain urgency in its two reasons. First, although we don't always like to admit it, our lives are fragile. None of us expect to die today, but any of us could. If not tonight, maybe tomorrow. Always sooner than we hoped or want. An accident, an illness, some expected event, or tragedy. We have seen it happen. Even when it is expected, death always comes too soon. Who knows when it might be yours or my turn to have the Lord come for us. The Lord tells us to always be ready for him. The second reason for this urgency is at stake. When is it our turn to leave this life? This will be the moment that our eternal fate is confirmed. Those who trust in the Lord will enter eternal life, but those who do not have faith in Jesus will be excluded. On the one hand, we are confident in God's promises, but on the other hand, there is a certain suspense that comes from knowing how little we deserve God's grace. Can he really be willing to take us into his kingdom? Since the stakes are so high, it is very urgent that we be ready. When Christ sends his angels to fetch us, the parable of the rich fool is a reminder that one day that moment will arrive. Will you be ready? Are you ready? Right now. The text of this parable is an occasion when someone approaches Jesus for help divide the family inheritance properly. Not much is said about the situation. We can infer that the man who made the request felt aggrieved that he has not received his fair share of the inheritance. The details of the situation is not as important as Jesus' answer. Man, who appointed me judge and arbitrator between you? This surprising answer raises some questions. Is it not surprising answer? Because Jesus exactly is what he says he isn't, the judge and arbitrator of all men. Who is better a position to judge correctly than Jesus, who sees into the hearts of men? And who has more authority than the one who will one day judge the living and the dead? Who would Jesus refuse to render judgment in this case? And why does he react so negatively to the request? Lord Jesus, as he sometimes in the ministry, demonstrates in this instance the ability to know what is in the hearts of others. In fact, he is judging the case and the man, but not in that way. The man expects or wants. In this case, Jesus knew that behind the request was so much desire for justice and righteousness as the desire for increased material advantage. This was the fight between people who were greedy. People involved in the case was coming to Jesus for the wrong thing. It's not wrong to want to resolve a case, but it is wrong to seek resolution when the greater need is to be converted and saved from sin. Anyone who has worked in the ministry of the church can relate to this. Husbands and wives bring their grievances before the church and seek to have their case resolved in their favor. Parents and children, same thing. Business partners, the same thing. What is missing in these situations is true repentance and conversion, without which is really impossible to resolve anything. Coming to Jesus in this instance is a ruling on the legalistic of inheritance. It is like hiring an engineer to change a light bulb or a professor to teach kindergarten. It's answers for something small for someone who can do something much bigger and needed much more urgently. Why ask Jesus to fix some paperwork when what he offered is to fix your soul and your relations with the eternal Creator? There is something for us to think about as we offer up our daily prayers. When we have the Savior attention, and are we asking for, yes, Jesus, can you make you well, protect you from the way, give you what your daily bread, help you pass your college exam, and he can find you a life partner, etc. But what does he really want to give you? He really wants to give you a new heart and his Holy Spirit. He wants to teach you how to be holy, how to love God and your neighbor. He wants you to make you a new person. Are you asking him for these things? Are these things a high priority for you as they are for Jesus? The man who came to Jesus asking for help with legal issues relating to his family inheritance had the wrong picture. This is the point of the parable that Jesus told the man whom we have come to know as the rich fool. The man is in the parable finds himself in this situation. He has more goods than he knows what to do with. Life has been good to him. In modern times, he has four vehicles and only a two-car garage. He can build a bigger swimming pool, yet his yard is too small. He can afford a big vacation, but he doesn't have a big enough RV. It is time to get a bigger life, a life more suited to the new acquired status and wealth. The rich fool has big plans. We should be careful not to misunderstand the point that Jesus is making with the story of the rich fool. The point is not that we should stop planning. Everything in Scripture we are told to consider the ant. the little creature whose industry and foresight stands as illustrated in the kind of wisdom management and stewardness which God expects us to demonstrate in our use of His gifts. Planning is good. What makes this rich fellow a fool? It is that he does not put his material planning into the context of spiritual reality. What makes this fellow a fool is that he does not put his material blessings into context of spiritual reality. Our plans exist within the realm of God's plan and plans. What our plans conflict with God's plan? This plan will overrule ours. The lesson is that our plans must take into account God. Even when we don't know His plan, we have to realize that sooner or later His plan is what will be judged and assigned our eternal destiny and fate. This is more important and requires our attention more urgently than any other situation we might face in this life. It is important to work hard, earn a living, yes. But what if the Lord comes calling tonight and decides to end your life and subject you to judgment? It is important to live healthy, to eat right, and to exercise, absolutely. What if the Lord comes calling tonight? It is important to plan for the future and to work towards retirement, yes. What if the Lord takes you home tonight? The rich man was a fool. In biblical terms, a fool is someone who loses sight of the big picture. The fool builds his sandcastles where the tide is coming in. He replaces his roof when it's rain in the forecast. He does go on a 200-kilometer drive when he has only 100 k's worth of fuel. The rich man indulges in planning what is acceptable and even recommended, but he felt left out the most important factor, which is God. What does God have to say? What will you say to God when, in His plan, it is your plan to stand before Him? The rich fool didn't ask this question, and therefore didn't have answers. He didn't consider whether his plan might collide with God's plan, and he didn't think how his wealth and bigger barns might help or hinder him when the day of judgment arrives. In consideration this parable this morning, we can start with acknowledgement of our own foolish moments and patterns. It is easy to forget about the big picture while we focus on the immediate here and now. Building a sandcastle is fun, engaging, and it's easy to forget about the tide. But while we may forget that the big picture doesn't forget about us. Eventually, reality catches up, and there is a price to pay. We can prepare for the future and make ourselves ready for the day the Lord comes calling by owning up to the foolishness and asking for forgiveness, and by replacing foolishness with wisdom. If we consider this matter a little further, we come to the realization that the last couple of years have been nothing if not a reminder that the big picture, God rules and we do not. At home, at work, at school, at church, our plans have been ripped to shreds the past few years under the banner of COVID-19. Whatever your view on this event, we can all agree that it has upset our plans and reminded us how frail our plans are. On one level, we can be thankful for this, since it brings the big picture back into focus. COVID upset our work schedule, our schooling, does at home, made us wear masks. As we wrestle with these things, God was calling us to look up. He was calling us to remember that work and school and what we wear don't matter. Doesn't make ends didn't in the end make a difference to the things that really mattered. When work is over, school is done, and clothing become irrelevant, we stand before God, defenseless, with only the blood of Jesus to shred us and our eternal future at stake. The wise know this and take measures. The wise make sure, first of all, to be right with God through Jesus Christ. Everything else comes second. The wise know that the Lord may come calling tonight, or he may wait a few years or decades. Either way, in that moment, it only matters when you are one of his children or not. It only matters whether you are one of his sheep or one of the goats. It matters whether Jesus says, "Away with you, I never knew you," or whether he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is the big picture that is to shape everything. It is the tide that determines where and how we build our sandcastles. The wise also know that the Lord's suddenly coming can happen in lesser and different ways. In the judgment the Lord makes, the rich fool die, and he faces with judgment. That is not the only way that the Lord comes to you tonight. Instead of taking you, he might take someone else. Are you ready? Will this upset your plans, or can you take it in stride, while keeping your eye on the big picture, what God rules? Instead of taking you, God might decide to afflict you with an accident or a disease. Are you ready? Will this upset all your schemings? Are you prepared to let God map out your journey to the new creation that he's made ready for you? And are you ready for? Instead of ending your life, God might decide to call you to a new life, putting a new kind of service in front of you. Are you so invested in your plans that you cannot listen to this new calling? Are you prepared to accept what God wants of you? What if the Lord comes calling for you tonight? You are in the middle of a new job. You are expecting a child. You were planning a trip. Your child is getting married next month. You have big projects. This almost done. You have someone you need to make things right first. There are any number of plans, any number of reasons we might ask God to defer. There are a number of ways that our plans could collide with his plan. What if God comes calling for you tonight? What if your heart fails, or a semi-truck runs a red light, or you suffer an accident, or there was an earthquake? What if, in some way, God says, "Your story here is over"? In the big picture, only one thing matters. Today, this text is a reminder to check into that one thing. If that one thing is right, then you can make other plans. If that one thing is not right, all your plans are a waste of time. There are moments like the time that this man came to Jesus, asking for a ruling on the matter of family inheritance. That exposed whether we are right or not. The man's question at that time of Jesus showing that his heart was in the wrong place and that he was foolish for getting the big picture. When those moments arrive in our life, we need to pay attention. When we find ourselves hoping that God would take us into his heavenly glory yet, what does it say about our understanding of the big picture? When we would rather that Jesus take care of our material well-being over our spiritual well-being, what does that say about what we are in terms of the big picture? Jesus might come calling for you tonight, or he might not. Either way, that day will come. Some days your plans will wind down, and it will be time. The wise know this and prepare. The foolish forget it. and are caught by surprise. Are you being wise or foolish? Amen.